This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you. This is the evening edition. Our next story of the day takes a look at minimum wage. Our second finance minister, Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani, said today that employers need to significantly reduce their reliance on foreign workers and utilize technology if we want to be able to afford to pay people the 2,700 ringgit living wage that was recommended by Bank Negara Malaysia.
Yep, that's right. So essentially he's saying that, I mean, we know that 97% of our business sector consists of SMEs, which would face a whole host of difficulties in running operations if they're made to pay a 2,700 ringgit minimum wage. So ultimately, he's looking to automation, saying that if you want to make sure that this country can afford minimum wage of what Bank Negara has indicated, we need to sort of slowly put our attention into automation in all our businesses.
Correct. He's essentially blaming the wage structure that exists at the moment on our dependency of foreign workers, because he says, you know, they're a lot cheaper, they cost a lot less.
Yeah, but you know, so the thing is, when he was asked how the government is planning to address the issue of foreign workers, he said that Putrajaya will impose a higher levy. At the moment, the levy is already considered high, so the idea is to give them time, more time to go and manage all of this. But I'm also wondering whether or not there's enough support in place to push, for this push for automation.
Right. No, I don't think we're there yet either, right? I mean, getting rid of or reducing the number of foreign workers is hard enough as it is, but I don't think we're nearly enough for the kind of automation that is required for us to be able to do
that. Yeah, that's the thing. So it looks like it's sort of laying out a potential roadmap for the long run. And it's interesting because with so many facets to look at, it's like we're running a race, right? But some of the runners need shoes and some are already at the finish line. Everything needs to happen together. Because compartmentalized, it feels as though every issue certainly is valid. I mean, by and large, there's an acknowledgement that the foreign workers are really necessary because we're still developing, isn't that right?
And the minister pointed that out too, saying that, you know, the dependency of foreign workers on businesses in the SME sector, for example, you know, because they're small businesses to begin with, they make up the large bulk of the economy in Malaysia. And so a 2,700 minimum wage or living wage would be quite impossible for them to kind of maintain and still make a profit.
Yeah, so I suppose, I don't know, just setting the path, you know, so that we expect to phase it out perhaps.
Yeah, so I mean, what's exciting about the story is that since last week's Bank Negara report, where they talk about the living wage, where the governor talked about it, it's created everyone, you know, it's caused everyone to go a little topsy-turvy, right? Because it's a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad Bank Negara brought it up, because it's a very important conversation. And I'm glad our politicians are thinking about this in the lead-up to the general election.
Well, to be fair, for the longest time, the conversation was dominated by minimum wage, and even as a concept that is relatively new for a country like us. So,
exactly.
You know, living wage was a long time coming.
It was a long time coming, but also the minimum wage as it's set, I mean, as pointed out by Bank Negara, you know, imagine if you're a family. They said if you're a family which has two kids, you'll need, you know, 6,500 ringgit, right? Or 6,500 ringgit in KL. You know, I know families with 4 and 5 kids who earn half of that as a household income. Mm-hmm. And it's just impossible to cope. Now, we're going to be speaking in a bit to economist Professor Jomo Kwame Sundram. He's going to kind of break things down for us with regards to this 2,700 ringgit living wage and how feasible it is. That's coming your way on the evening edition. Don't go anywhere. This is BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Caroline and Uma with you. This is the evening edition. And we've been talking about Bank Negara's suggestion of having a living wage, and our second finance minister who recently came out and said that, you know, if we want a 2,700 ringgit minimum wage, then we need to reduce our dependency on foreign workers. Now, we have on the line economist Professor Jomo Kwame Sundram. He's the former chief economist in the United Nations. Thank you so much for joining us, Prof. Jomo. Now, we know that it's not necessarily feasible to have fewer foreign workers, at least at the moment, because certain sectors still heavily depend on foreign labour. But is it as simple as reducing the number of foreign workers to increase wages on the whole?
I think what the central bank as well as the second finance minister have pointed to, is a very key issue. That the main factor which has prevented wages and salaries from going up much more has been the continued availability of foreign workers. So in this sense, they are both quite correct that the continued presence of foreign workers has served as a dampener on incomes for working people in Malaysia. And in that sense, a medium-term plan to reduce the presence of foreign workers would serve this purpose. However, it would also be important to induce the kinds of technical changes which would enable Malaysian workers to raise their productivity. There has been, for example, a great deal of resistance to mechanization in some agricultural activities, or there has been a reluctance to introduce labor-saving devices in many occupations, precisely because of the availability of a cheap alternative. Without such an availability, ready availability, it would be possible to for incomes to go up fairly significantly. What the central bank's report also points out is that productivity of Malaysian workers is much higher than suggested by the prevailing wage rates. In other words, wage rates are not determined by the productivity of workers, but rather have been subjected to other factors, and the presence of a significant number of foreign workers has acted as a dampener on wage rates.
Right. I guess it's surprising that you're pointing out that it's employers that need to help increase, I guess, the productivity of employees, because the common argument is that, you know, workers need to be more productive. So, you know, I suppose that relates to the low wages. Why do you point to employers as opposed to employees?
Well, right now, the choices which are made in the workplace are certainly not made by employees. The choices are largely made by employers. So where employers choose to introduce labor-saving technical innovations, which would be commensurate with a relatively high-income economy, for example, would become crucial. So if, for example, the employers continue to avoid investing in, let us say, labor-saving devices or greater mechanization, then it is very unlikely that appealing to employees to work harder and so on is going to make much of a difference. It's not that employees in general are lazy, but we have a history in this country of Malaysian employees expecting, quite understandably, to be better rewarded for their incomes. If you look, for example, at national economic output, it has continued to rise for decades, and yet one does not find that there has been a commensurate increase in incomes, particularly for not only for the relatively unskilled or low-skilled workers, even for those, for example, who are more highly skilled, who are more highly educated, we find that they are very, very modestly remunerated. So there is a very heavy, great inducement, for example, for such people to seek employment abroad where they expect to be better remunerated. Hmm.
So the minister said that we need to shift towards automation, but how can industries be pushed to move in that direction?
Well, I think there would be a number of different things. I think it's very difficult to make a general prescription across the board, but producer associations should be engaged much, much more in identifying the obstacles in their respective industries and subsectors as to why they have not done more in terms of automating or in terms of inducing safer conditions of work. Because safer conditions of work also would induce workers to be much more engaged with their work. And whereas if they feel that their work process is unsafe, they are less inclined to produce more because they would be taking greater risk in the production process. So what would be prescribed, for example, in the construction industry, where more than 90% of workers are believed to be foreign, or in plantation as well as other agriculture, would be very different, of course. And one would have to say the same thing for many, many other subsectors. So I think there has to be much more engagement of all the stakeholders, of employers, of employees, as well, presumably through unions, but also the government can play a very important supportive role if it recognizes its role as not partial only to employers, which has unfortunately been the case thus far. This would also require the elimination of politically connected business interests which have a strong interest in bringing foreign workers into the country, for example. There's much money which is currently being made by a whole range of people who make money from the poor working conditions which not only foreign workers, but unfortunately Malaysian workers as well are subjected to.
Prof. Jomo, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Professor Dr. Jomo Kwame Sundram, former chief economist at the UN, on the need for automation and how companies employing foreign labour lowers our wages. We've got more music coming your way, so don't go anywhere. This is the...
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.